Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. We are coming back from can we even call it like a busy weekend? The Warriors are blowing out the Cavs. Some dude is spewing fake news about the Lakers. And that's where we're going to start this show. We're going to touch on that stuff and kind of how this business kind of works. But before we get to that, make sure you're following the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using the promo codes on SeatGeek, Mac Weldon. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LLLakers. All those good places. Please make sure you continue to support those who continue to support us. I'm joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, is your day going better than your hair currently looks on the other side of the webcam?
Thank you, first of all, for bringing me in on that. But yeah, I guess I shouldn't have agreed to do webcams with you tonight, but if you're just going to make fun of me. But yeah, my day was solid. I saw Wonder Woman. I got to get away from fake news flying across my timeline yesterday. So It was all in all not such a bad one. But I think that we should talk probably about the Lakers more so than my day.
Wait, how was Wonder Woman? Because I do want to go see it.
It actually was really good. It made me a lot more optimistic about the direction of the DC film universe.
Nice. All right. So for everybody who's out there, this show is brought to you by Wonder Woman.
Use the promo code. No, we don't have the promo code.
Locked On Wonder Woman. All right. So apparently a report. I was out of town. My dad and my mother-in-law share a birthday. So I was in Palm Springs this past weekend celebrating their birthdays. And I checked my Twitter, and I saw a whole bunch of people either really angry, really intrigued, or whatever, about some report about...
Feeling something.
Yeah, there were a lot of feels on the Twitter timeline. And it was in regards to a report about the Lakers somehow not liking Lonzo Ball, and that if the draft was today, they wouldn't take him because they aren't sure of his star potential or something like that. This was also brought to you by the same guy who reported in 2015 that the Lakers were going to get the number one pick. That was already a done deal, according to this guy. So you know, he's just a stand-up opportunity.
He's very, very plugged in.
Yeah, this guy just it. When it comes to people who are going to give you the absolute truth about everything involved with the Lakers, you know you're going to get it from this guy. So he says that the Lakers have already made their decision on Lonzo Ball, which is pretty effing stupid because the Lakers haven't worked out Lonzo Ball. They've worked out De'Aaron Fox, I think, right? Or no, not even him yet.
They have not worked out. They went to a workout that De'Aaron Fox was at yesterday, but it was not them working out De'Aaron Fox. It was open to all NBA teams. It was his pro day through his agency. A bunch of other players were there. A bunch of other teams were there. And so it wasn't their private workout, but they have watched De'Aaron Fox and they have interviewed him at the combine. And this report is also brought to you by the guy who said that broke, I'm using air quotes, that per a source, Lakers are not just open-minded to trading Jordan Clarkson, as has been reported, but are actively seeking out offers. which he somehow beat every single person on the beat to, if it's true, which
that nobody has confirmed either, which
yeah, so I don't we'll I'm cautious about that one too.
So here's my stance on reporting on the Lakers. It's really effing hard to get plugged into the Lakers. They pride themselves on being a mom and pop shop, and it's really easy to tell when people know stuff about the inner workings of the Lakers. Pincus reported something on a whole bunch. Like he gave plenty of detail as to what's going on there. Eric Pincus is also one of the forefront thinkers or foremost thinkers on the cap. So I would imagine at some point along the way, Eric has spoken to people who've worked with, you know, who work with the Lakers about all these different things, and he's been on their beat for quite some time. I trust everything that he reported there. Like that's how this stuff works. It's called cultivating sources. And at no point has this guy gotten a report right, or not only that, but he's gotten reports just gruesomely wrong. And running with this stuff, like, I honestly didn't want to talk about this. Like, Harrison and I went back and forth before we went on the show. I didn't want to talk about this because I didn't want to lend it the credence on this topic, because that's how bad stuff happens. People think this was an actual thing, but it really isn't a natural thing.
Well, I think that's why we have to talk about it, because to believe, regardless of what this guy has been told or hasn't been told or whatever, to believe that the Lakers have decided anything about Lonzo Ball or any of these draft prospects for sure without even having them in for a workout yet is just – it's crazy to me. I just don't see how that would be the case.
Yeah, and the reason I didn't want to talk about it is because that gets retweeted by all kinds of people, and it goes out all over the Twitterverse, and it has its initial cycle. And now we're talking about it in yet another thing. And look, our talking about it is to say, I'll go so far as to report. I am willing to report that the Lakers love Lonzo Ball. That the people that I've spoken to that are close to the Lakers say they love the kid. And the last thing I remember LeVar Ball doing was the Stay in Your Lane shirt, right? I think that was it.
He's been pretty quiet since then.
You think there's a reason for that?
Or I think he went on. He like talked to Ice Cube about his 3-on-3 league or something. I saw like a video of that.
Oh yeah, he missed the shot.
He did that shot. He took that shot that they didn't show the result of. That pretty much sounded like a pretty bad brick. Yeah. But you know. Even guys who beat Michael Jordan 1-on-1 don't make all their shots.
Would you be willing to go so far as to say that there's a reason behind his relative silence?
I think after after the draft lottery and stuff, he did I usually call it the ESPN car wash, where these people like that are using their fame or whatever, they go on like a bunch of different ESPN shows. But he did just like the media car wash, where he went on all of the shows.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, there was nowhere else he could go unless he wanted.
Yeah, I think he's talked about, like, what else do they want him to say? Like, do they want him to say Lonzo is going to be drafted by the Lakers again, like for a fourth or fifth time? I don't know. Like, I think he kind of ran out of stuff on some level. But sure, the fact that maybe there were scheduling stuff going on with Lonzo's workout, it seemed like that was kind of taking longer to come out than people were anticipating. I don't know. Maybe there was some communication, or he started to get the message that, hey, you know, maybe I can't just go around talking to everybody if I want my son to get drafted by the Lakers still. Maybe. I don't know. I kind of sense that that's where you were going with that.
I believe there was also a report about how much the Balls love and respect Magic Johnson.
Yes, there was. Shams Charania reported that in his video thing after his like video piece after the Lakers date that they would be working out Lonzo Ball this Wednesday came out.
So you're saying that there's no, I mean, like there.
No, I'm not saying there's no chance. I'm just saying there could be other reasons. We don't know.
I'm willing to, again, like there's.
You're a little bit more willing on this stuff to just go there. Whereas,
well, no, it's one thing when like you have the stars, or like there's one star on like one side of the planet, and then there's another star like way over there. But like this is all the dots are like there's two dots. One Lonzo Ball wants to be a Laker. Two, the Lakers are going to be able to draft this kid. Holy crap, there's a line between those two dots. Wow, I can't believe that worked out. And
correlation doesn't equal causation, just saying.
You're the worst, Spock.
I know.
Like, literally. But I would say to the fact that somebody would be willing to report something that is so obviously false, like so obviously untrue and like impossible, honestly, that, you know, just for the retweets, and he's going to get the snarky comments and stuff, and that's all par for the course. And I think he knew what he was getting himself into. He knows when he reports stupid stuff like this, he knows that he's going to get stuff from people like Harrison or myself that might subtweet him or whatever. He knows he's going to get that, but he also knows he's going to get his word retweeted and spread across the internet by casual fans who don't take that stuff into account. And I think with all of these reports, even like the Paul George stuff, like you have to wonder where some of this information is coming from. That's why, you know, it's tough for Harrison and I to get too in depth with who whatever source might be. But with this guy, we haven't seen any proof of him being
tied. Reported that they had won the draft lottery in 2015. They just, that stuff is, it's not out. It's not rigged. The NBA draft lottery is not rigged.
Well, I mean, let's not go so that. Come on. I mean, that's not fun.
Yeah, but I guess all the reporters that they let into the room to watch the ping pong balls fly around and stuff, they you know, they're in on it, maybe. Stay woke.
Well, they don't have their phones with them, so how are we supposed to know that they aren't being duped behind the scenes?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I guess it could. Everybody could be getting duped. It could be the biggest, most pointless conspiracy theory in United States history. Or not theory, conspiracy plan. Conspiracy. Yeah, not theory.
Just a straight up conspiracy.
Yeah, it's our theory about that conspiracy. If the draft was today stuff and just all that, it's like the draft's not today. They haven't worked out these guys privately yet. And I'm as big of a proponent of teams mostly basing their scouting for especially these top picks on what they saw throughout their whole careers and their tape and their stats and all that stuff, more so than just a private workout at the gym, because you could have an off day. It's against a lot of the time these things are one on none. It's those workouts should not be the end all be all, but to try and glean anything about the Lakers' decision making process before they've even worked these guys out is just like, it's bizarre and it's unnecessary, and I just don't buy it.
No, and so that's our stance on it. I'm still willing to say that Lonzo Ball will probably get drafted by the Lakers.
I would be shocked if he didn't. And yeah, that's not any inside sourcing. That's just me looking at the Lonzo, looking at the field, and reading the publicly available tea leaves. I mean, Magic Johnson compared Lonzo Ball to himself. Magic Johnson is the best point guard in NBA history.
I was going to ask you a question, but I forgot what it was going to be. You said you'd be shocked if the Lakers didn't wind up with Lonzo Ball, and you said it's not based on any, you know, reporting.
Yeah, but that's not, and no reporting from myself. I would just be shocked personally if the Lakers did not take Lonzo Ball.
The thing that's getting ignored a lot of times with this stuff is this isn't about, like, the Lakers wouldn't draft Ball for the story. They wouldn't.
No, I don't. I'm not saying they would.
I'm not saying you would. I'm not saying that's what you're saying. I'm saying, like, there's this thought out there that Lonzo, you know, we just had Jonathan Sharks on here, and he's one of the smartest people that I follow about this draft stuff that nobody really knows anything about anyway. But the Lakers, if they draft Lonzo Ball, it's because they think he's the best player there. That he happens to be a local kid and would be the most superstar-ready player in this draft, that just happens to be icing on the cake. That doesn't matter nearly as much as this kid is really good at basketball, and he fits potentially with what the Lakers are trying to do and the direction that the NBA is going in quite well. Like, there was a play tonight. Did you watch the game? Did you watch game two?
Yes, I did. Game two.
Did you see that one play where, like, Steph just casually walked in and shot a three-pointer from the hash mark?
That one play. I saw a couple plays where Steph casually walked into three-pointers, but yeah.
But the one I think the Cavs were kind of sort of in the game still, but this one he released it. He was, like, way back behind. I think Kevin Love challenged him on. Yeah, it was Kevin Love who challenged him on it.
Yes, on the left wing, right?
Yeah, and like him shooting from that far gives the Warriors, who obviously need all the advantages they can possibly get, but him shooting from that far willingly and as we all have seen very consistently successfully, that gives the Warriors all kinds of gravity based advantages. And Lonzo Ball, like, if anybody watched him at UCLA, he was pulling from that range, stepping back into it. Like,
he was pulling from there in high school.
Yeah, he has that kind of range, and that makes him a very interesting interesting prospect. Not his dad, not that he played at UCLA, not that he grew up a Laker fan, because just about every kid that works out with the Lakers say that at some point they rooted for either Kobe or Magic or whomever. But the Lakers were
drafted. We're getting past, if they start saying they rooted for Magic growing up, they're lying about either lying about that or they're lying about their age. We're a little past that range.
Did Thon Maker say that last year?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Thon Maker was like, "Yes, I remember watching Magic when I was in high school. He was great."
The Lakers, their interest in Lonzo Ball is basketball related, and all this stuff about Lonzo Ball, may not be a superstar. The Lakers don't feel whatever about him. Look, there are people with vested interests in this situation, in Lonzo Ball not getting drafted by the Lakers. It's De'Aaron Fox's agent. It's Josh Jackson's agent. It's Dennis Smith Jr.'s agent. It's all of these various people who are saying, I'd really kind of prefer it if my client went to the Lakers instead. And they'll float stuff out to people, and they'll say, who are willing to just sound stupid in their reports. And in this case, this little bit of information was floated out to this reporter, quote unquote reporter, and you have this report out there, and it's just not true. It's just, that's not how this stuff works.
Well, first, I just want to say we don't necessarily know that it came from one of those sources, but I agree with your overall sentiment that some people are a little bit more fast and loose with where they get their information and, what they're firing out on Twitter. But I do want to back up and your point about the Lakers' interest in Lonzo being solely basketball related. I would agree that it is mostly basketball related, and I also would agree that in my eyes, which you shouldn't necessarily take worth anything considering how little college basketball I watch, but I've read up on these guys. I've watched tape on them. He seems to pretty clearly be the second best prospect in the draft. I don't disagree with that. I do think that the marketing stuff probably has to play into it at least a little bit. I think it's not nothing for sure. The fact that they could draft that guy and he instantly kind of adds a bunch of buzz about their franchise that Josh Jackson doesn't necessarily add, Dennis Smith doesn't necessarily add, even Markelle Fultz probably doesn't necessarily add. Not that they'd take Ball over Fultz just for this or something like that, but there is a benefit to the team there. And I don't know if they're factoring that into their draft making decisions, but it has to play some role, doesn't it? Because that, it just instantly draws people to come and watch the game on Spectrum. There's a legion of Lonzo fans in LA already existing that just don't exist for Josh Jackson or Dennis Smith or Markelle Fultz or any of these other guys.
So multiple things can be true here, right? Like, everything that you said makes perfect sense. Like, me saying that what you said isn't true would be as untrue as the Lonzo Ball report is out there.
You're kind of like a UCLA fan, right?
No,
or is that
I am.
Only for football?
I am. No, I...
Yeah, so you're kind of already like... You like Lonzo already, I would assume, then,
yeah,
right?
He's the most exciting player that they've had since Russell Westbrook. Like, he was incredible this year.
Yeah.
So
it seemed like every single night they played, I had multiple Vines, rest in peace, Vine, flying across my timeline of just like insane crap that he did.
Yeah, and like, anywho, but I
there's
do,
like
I do
what
wanna,
I'm saying is
wanna,
there's a cult of Lonzo Ball already.
There is, and you can kind of see it because there's the anti-cult of Lonzo Ball already out there. We're like, like I presented a hypothetical and like a trade idea where I just said, if the Warriors were to talk to the Lakers about, you know, Klay Thompson for Lonzo Ball, who says no? And I had people, you know, jumping into the mentions saying, well, for the number two pick, just so we're clear, the Warriors wouldn't even take Lonzo Ball, right? And I found that kind of interesting, that, like, there's already blowback to Lonzo Ball being popular as a potential Laker. I find that interesting. But I wanted to get back to...
People just hate the Lakers.
No, our next segment, if we ever get to it, is a little bit of... But I wanted to... I wanted to ask you this almost as a devil's advocate point, because I don't know if I necessarily believe it, but just something that I think bears asking. The conversation wouldn't be full if we don't ask this question.
Sure.
Isn't anybody who gets drafted by the Lakers going to get that buzz? Like, if
no, not even, like Lonzo. I don't think I see what you're saying. If the team's fans are going to get excited about any young, they're going to talk themselves into it. Even all the or a lot of the pro Okafor people before the draft talked themselves into Russell almost immediately, and they were, oh, I've been big fans of his game this whole time. And I'm kind of subtweeting myself, but not really. I just like I was just really wrong about Okafor, and I had liked Russell at the time too. It was close, mm-hmm. But I think you're right. There is obviously fans are going to latch on to pretty much anybody the team takes, unless they take. I'm trying to think of like somebody like Luke Kennard or something like that.
We're talking about Harrison. This isn't the Pacers we're talking about. They don't just draft white guys.
What I'm saying is there would be – obviously the Lakers could take somebody like way, way below where the second overall pick should be as far as stock goes, and that would maybe upset the fan base. But as far as who they pick, yeah, there is going to be a little bit of buzz, but not like there will be with Lonzo. Not like there will be with hometown kid is joining the Lakers. It's been talked up endlessly. It's been a narrative basically his whole UCLA season, or at least the second half of it, once it became clear enough that the Lakers were going to be pretty much in range to pick him if they kept their pick. It's been a thing, and it's definitely something that people care about more so than if the team were to draft Josh Jackson, which I think a lot of fans would still get excited about, but not to the degree of Lonzo.
So,
and I could be wrong, but that's my feelings on it.
I think I mostly agree with what you're saying. I wouldn't agree as strongly as you came with it, but I think like if they pass up on Lonzo and they go with like Josh Jackson. We'll just say Josh Jackson.
Yeah, I think you made the point with Charks the other day that it'll be like the Russell and Okafor thing, where Russell, because there were so many pro Okafor people, instantly kind of had to deal with prove that you're better than this guy that everybody thought the Lakers were taking.
Yeah,
I think
that popularity, so there's going to be people who support that Josh Jackson pick because, like me, for example, if they went with somebody who is not Lonzo Ball, I would be disappointed because I do like Lonzo more than the other players not named Markelle Fultz in this draft. But if they drafted somebody not named Lonzo Ball, I would be kind of excited because I'd kind of give them the benefit of the doubt and I'd say, you know what, let's see what they must have seen something. And if this guy is a better fit or is a better player than I think Lonzo Ball currently is, then the Lakers just got a better player. And that makes me excited about what they're trying to do here. You know, if anything, it would make me more excited because it told me they weren't slaves to the moment of everything, all the hype surrounding Lonzo, you know? And
it would be an interesting window into their thought process of, oh, okay, we all kind of thought Lonzo fit really well with Russell, but they went with, like, let's say Jackson. Okay, maybe they're just really trying to build. They just want as many versatile wings as possible, and they're going to figure it all out. That would be my conclusion if they went with Jackson. Or if they went with Fox, it's like, okay, they really like watching the NCAA tournament. you know, it's whoever they pick, it gives you a window into their thought process a little bit.
Yeah, and I think I agree. I like I said, when I was asking the question, it was mostly just to lob the question in there, and I do agree that Lonzo does offer more in terms of superstar, in terms of immediate impact on the Lakers brand than the other guys in this draft.
There are going to be people breaking into the Team LA stores. I don't encourage this, guys. Don't riot in LA. But to get those Lonzo Ball jerseys when they drop.
Yeah, although, I mean, you could always just make a custom one and try to guess what number he's going to wear.
Yeah, although
seems
maybe
safer,
you know,
than breaking and entering.
Yeah, maybe that would be a safer recommendation. But I'm just saying, it's going to be popular. And then when LeVar Ball sells the $1,000 knockoff on BigBallerBrand.com, those are probably going to sell a couple copies too.
Do you think the Lakers would sue LeVar Ball if he like released an oddly similar jersey to the Lakers? Saying
no, you know what he's going to do? I'm calling my shot right now. If Lonzo gets drafted by the Lakers or whatever team he gets drafted by, within the next week, there's going to be in that team's colors with that team's team name font on the front, but it's just going to say like Ballers or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be – but it's going to be in the – so like for the Lakers, instead of Lakers on the front of the jersey, it would say Ballers. And then it's going to be Ball on the back with his name and then whatever his number is. And they're going to sell that for like $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that happening. That's a good call.
And then you can blow like a whole month's paycheck on that, and then the Big Baller sandals and the Big Baller brand's O2s, and, you know, maybe get a Stay in Your Lane t-shirt too.
Yeah. All right. So really quickly, we have a little bit of time here. Our next show, Wednesday show, is going to release a little bit later because Lonzo Ball is scheduled to work out on Wednesday. And we kind of
figured, we want to come to you after Lonzo works out so that we aren't just like guessing at what the workout's going to be like. That'd be boring.
Yeah. So we're going to try to release the show as quickly after the workout as we possibly can, just so that we stay as close to on schedule as we possibly can. But, because we might have a slightly longer break between this show and our next one, I kind of figured we'd have a little bit of fun with, honestly, my Twitter account. I have noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Harrison, but I have noticed on social media, especially, well, Twitter is what I notice all this stuff on, but on Twitter I have noticed a whole bunch of snide comments directed at Kobe, and I have found it interesting. Like, I was trying to think of like where this would be coming from. You know, nobody talks about Tim Duncan anymore. Nobody talks about guys who are even currently playing who are supposedly better than Kobe. Dirk comes to mind. Nobody talks about KG. Nobody talks, like, Paul Pierce is on TV during these finals, and nobody gives a single F about his legacy compared to LeBron or Michael.
I'm pretty sure Draymond Green is still yelling up at the halftime show that like that you thought you was Kobe at Paul Pierce.
Yeah, I hope Draymond it, like, because he
I want the
himself.
Warriors to win the finals just so that Draymond like crashes the set. Not in the, he doesn't even wait for his interview. He crashes the set, pushes Paul Pierce off in a wheelchair, and then takes over for him.
Yeah. So I was trying. So the tweet that I sent out was, I have it right in here. There we go. Quote, Kobe's legacy is that y'all can't stop talking about him. I can't believe I use y'all. But
did you just quote yourself?
I did. I'm quoting myself, and not very well either. That it was like really awkward while I was doing it.
Yeah,
but basically,
you didn't even read it in your voice.
I didn't. I just went automatically to the quote voice. But yeah, I mean that's that. The crux of this is that like it's weird to me that on so many occasions we get this odd desire to make sure at every opportunity we possibly can, we're going to shit on Kobe. And so what I did to keep coming back to that, I attached a couple of screenshots about, you know, what I might be talking about. So Tom Haberstroh in a tweet goes, statistically, the most clutch player since 03, number 5, Jimmy Butler, number 4, KD, number 3, Dirk, number 2, LeBron, number 1, and then in parentheses, hint, it's not Kobe, right? And it was, I never clicked on the link because It's just like numbers stuff.
I remember somebody saying that if you had just like skewed the formula slightly, Kobe was like really high on in it, but
it wouldn't shock me. Like numbers can be messed with all the time. And like you're ignoring, do you think there's a such thing as a clutch gene?
Like a literal gene?
No, it's something like a characteristic that makes somebody cooler in those situations than others.
No, I don't really buy it. I don't really believe in it.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't shock me at all, Spock. But I actually think there is something going on there. That, like, somebody is more willing to take those shots. Like, early on in LeBron's career, he was less willing to take those shots. He became a better shooter as his career went along. And then now, I really trust him late in those late-game situations. Like, I thought it was really interesting that in three games in a row, right? Was it three? Yeah, it was three games in a row. The Warriors last year all crapped the bed down the stretches of all those games. Like that to me is a group of players who couldn't quite figure it. It's why I'm still interested in this series, because if any adversity happens again, I want to see how this group of players handles it. Because KD didn't necessarily handle it all that well in Oklahoma City when his Thunder blew a 3-1 lead before it was cool. Anywho, to get back to this thread, I saw there another one. Oliver Maroney said, I may take Harden over prime Kobe in a conversation again where Kobe wasn't part of this at all. I think they were talking about Harden and Steph. I think it was.
I think the point is it's become very fashionable to crap on Kobe.
Yeah, like to another one at Shrieky Shooter. You know what they say? The NBA Finals don't truly begin until you have delusional Kobe stands all angry in your mentions, right? And again, like it's this weird thing that, you know, and other people in this thread have kind of pointed it out to, you know, there was a Ringer article that, like, I think made sure to crap on Kobe at the very last sentence of it, too. It's this weird thing. And I wanted to take it in a different direction, because if we try to figure it out, it's honestly, and I'm going to sound like a Lakers exceptionalist here, but it's honestly a lot of people whose childhood was ruined by Kobe Bryant crapping on your favorite team. So I'm sorry that that happened, and we're going to take the conversation.
Are you really that sorry, though?
Oh, I'm really not at all. Like, yeah. It makes me happy to, like, no end that Steve Nash, player of basketball of the right way, has zero rings. And Kobe, he who shat on basketball by daring to shoot mid-range pull-ups, has five rings. Like, it makes me so happy. But anywho, we're just going to have a fun little exercise here, and we're going to try to figure out who dislikes Kobe the most on either Laker NBA Twitter or in NBA fan bases or whatever. So, Harrison, who's your first group of people who dislike Kobe the most?
Huh. I'm going to go Kings fans. Those are definitely the ones that have gotten the angriest at me over Kobe stuff when I've tweeted it. That's for sure. I think it's probably Kings fans. And it's probably because I keep sending out that Ori buzzer beater vine too. Like they probably so I guess that's just like a Lakers thing as well, but it's definitely a Kobe thing. They definitely are not fans of Kobe in Sacramento.
It's like I think it has to be minus one faction that we'll bring up here in a second, but like, in terms of NBA fan bases, I think it's important that Kobe has to have ripped your heart out at some point, and your team can't have had any success ever, because, like, it just adds to, like, it's salt on the wound that your franchise sucks. And so, like, my next group of people who I think hate Kobe really badly are Portland Trailblazers fans, because he had that game where he hit the two buzzer beaters in a row. I think one was in regulation, and another one was in overtime to win it against Ruben Patterson, the quote unquote Kobe stopper back in the day. And I think Portland Trailblazers.
It's fans, still hilarious that I'm pretty sure that's his actual basketball reference nickname. It's like the most inaccurate. It's one of those things like calling a really big guy tiny.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, wait, so you're going to start calling me tiny? Like, is that how that's going to work?
Yeah, that was, sorry.
Shit.
Oh, man, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. It's his official nickname on Basketball Reference. His only one. Reuben Nathaniel Patterson, in parentheses.
Hello? Oh, you got so excited that you broke up in audio.
Oh, it's on his official Basketball Reference page. Reuben Nathaniel Patterson, parentheses, Kobe Stopper.
That's phenomenal.
But on the, going back to the Sacramento thing really quickly, Sacramento hates him so much that he got food poisoning in 2002 staying at one of their hotels. Now, who knows if that was nefarious stuff or if Kobe just, like, ordered old fish or something.
But it was a burger.
It was a burger. Okay, it was a burger. But, yeah, that's it's a little dubious.
I'm blaming Bradley Geiser.
That's
who I'm blaming on that one. The next group of people who I'm going to nominate here, because I alluded to them before I talked about the Portland Trailblazers, is NBA Twitter. And it's for a very logical reason. It's the same reason why Harrison and I hope to God that Jeremy Lin never plays on the Lakers ever again. And it's because the stands are so obnoxious, because it is just as obnoxious on the pro Kobe side of this as the anti Kobe side of this. Like that, those two
basically
things.
Basically, Anthony hates everyone, is what he's trying to tell you.
I'm kind of bitter, but the like I don't blame guys like Matt Moore or guys like Adi Joseph or guys like people with followings large enough to where like anytime they talk about any of the ESPN guys too, right? Because anytime it fires out over the ESPN platform that you know Kobe is less clutch than whomever, you know they get a whole bunch of guys, you know, people with Kobe avies screaming at them like obscene things.
Yes, there is a very dedicated Kobe army.
Yeah, and it gets personal really quickly. So like in that sense, I don't blame anybody for saying, you know what, Kobe and all his stands can kick rocks. You know, I don't blame them at all for that. But I do think like we're all human beings. It's for the same stuff when I hear people analyze other players who aren't Kobe, who may have wronged them, you know, either in a locker room or what setting or whatever, when I hear them analyze what's going on with them and it seems a little tainted, it's because we're all human beings. And I don't blame people who have been told to, you know, die a slow, painful death because they don't think Kobe was clutch or didn't play very good defense over the last 7 years of his career. When you go from commenting on somebody's basketball playing ability to I hope you and your family die in a fire, like I understand when those who are being told that they hope that they die in a fire look back at Kobe and his fans and say, you know what, man, like this isn't helping at all.
There is a very vocal minority of Kobe fans that take things very far very quickly sometimes. Yes.
Yeah, it escalates rather quickly. So that was my second mention.
I think it's funny that you mentioned Jeremy Lin's fans, because I think that they're actually my next one. They were that year when he was when he was with the Lakers. they were very angry about basically everyone that wasn't Jeremy Lin on the team, but they were very angry about Kobe in when he played his limited role that year, taking possessions from Lin, because obviously, you know, Jeremy Lin had earned the right to play more and take more shots than Kobe, and Kobe was mean to him.
I wonder if that was kind of why Carmelo was so sick of Linsanity, that like he had so many people yelling at
him. Carmelo found the Lin stands before any of us did.
Yeah, he was the first person who dealt
with
it.
It had nothing to do with Lin's marketability or anything. He's just like, get these people away from my Twitter.
Yeah,
trying to keep my mentions clean.
We might have just broken like the biggest story that the Knicks fans have had since like 72 and 73.
Yeah, go ahead and tweet it out and say it's inside sources.
Yeah, I won't. You just told me not to call anybody out, so I won't.
Yeah.
All right, that does it. Do you have anybody else who you think hates Kobe irrationally? Because I was thinking, you know, maybe the Celtics, but it's kind of odd. There's this weird. I have a buddy who lives in Boston, and I have another buddy who's a Celtics fan. And both of them say that they don't outright hate Kobe out there. It's that, like, it's more of like a begrudging respect because he was so good. And I think what helps.
I mean, they chanted MVP for him the year before they got Garnett and Allen. So. Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's easier to do that when your team has enjoyed some success. And obviously, the Celtics have enjoyed some success, though less since they. Stop playing with accountants at power forward. But anyhow,
I think the other I think the other factor there is that the day that Kobe worked out for the Celtics and put on their workout gear, he automatically became the best player in Celtics history. And so I'd like to ever wear one of their uniforms. So I think there's respect for him on that level.
All right. So remember how last show I didn't think the show was going to get any better, so we ended it. I don't think this show is going to get any better than the shade that you just threw at the Celtics. So
yeah, Kobe, best player to ever wear Celtics workout gear. Sorry.
I'm tweeting that out of context. That's going to be how I'm selling tonight's show. All right, that does it, though, for this episode. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back at it again, like I said, Wednesday, maybe a little bit later, potentially Thursday morning, depending on, you know, how quickly we can get to the microphones and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, podcasting's hard. Sometimes, you know, we gotta pace ourselves, warm up a little bit.
Yeah, just douse ourselves in cold water on nights like tonight where I jumped on here and I was ready to kill people. But yeah, we'll talk to everybody again on Wednesday. Make sure you're following the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Use those promo codes, and we'll talk to you in a couple days.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.